Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the NASCA Stop Child Abuse Now. We are on scan number 2961, and we have a very special guest this evening. I'm excited to introduce you to him here in just a minute. But we would love to have you call in if you want to be a part of the panel and ask Jay any questions tonight. Well, I just said his name. that number is 646-595-2118. And we would love to have you come on and be a part of our panel this evening. So here at NASCA, we have a single purpose, and that is to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violence, or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so with only two goals. One, by educating the public, especially as it's related to helping society get over its taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, CSA, presenting facts showing child abuse to be a pandemic, worldwide problem that affects everyone. And two, by offering hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. And you can find all of that information at NASCA. It's NASCA.org. And that's the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. So we're so excited to be here this evening with our guest. So I have, my special guest is Justin J. Johnson, and he's from Houston, Texas. He was adopted, and he never really knew much of his biological family. And his adopted, however, was abusive, and he would beat him and his mom whenever he was drunk or upset, said Jay. He used guns or anything to serve as a weapon to hurt them. He goes on, we lived in fear. We had no voice. We couldn't go anywhere. As a child, Jay was trapped in his family. I had to stay there and endure the wrath until I was able to leave home. He decided to be everything his father wasn't. I wanted to make a good name for myself, but mostly I wanted to help empower others to use their voice and to believe in themselves. So I'm going to stop there. There's a little bit more in the bio, but I want Jay to be able to tell us some of his life story, and I don't want to get too far into it because if you have things to talk about. But we have Jay. How are you this evening, Jay? We're so happy to have you on.
I'm doing well. Thank you guys for having me on. I want to thank both of you, John, as well. Thank you guys for actually having me on as a guest.
Thank you for being here, bro.
Yeah. We have John on this evening with us, and then we also have Darlene on the panel. So we're excited to have you all here this evening. So Jay, what we usually do, and I know you've been on before, so you know this, is kind of start from your childhood, wherever you kind of want to start, where, you know, if
absolutely.
It's before, just wherever you want to go
absolutely.
With it, and we will probably break a little bit between, and we'll just ask you know, the panelists, they have any questions or anything. So I know that.
Absolutely.
So go ahead. I'm going to open the mic and just give it to you. Thanks for being on.
Absolutely. Thank you. So first off, I just want to say thank you again for being a part of, you know, allowing me to share my story today. And I've shared the link with different people. So there are not a lot of people that I know, especially the followers that I have, you know, knows my story. But, you know, as you guys know, my name is Justin Jay Johnson. Jay Johnson. Jay has just been a nickname that I've had since a childhood with friends and family. And, you know, I grew up. Really, I didn't know my biological family. I was adopted, and I really didn't know anything about them. I grew up in a family where my adoptive father, you know, was very abusive. So I would like to also clean this up before I really just kind of get into it and just, you know, just jump all over the guy. You know, for myself, I just want to say it because I think it's very important to identify about healing and also about forgiving, not just for them, but for yourself, because that's how you truly heal. But I just want to say that I know that this person, my adoptive father, was a very lost man. You know, he was hurting. You know, he didn't probably have the tools and everything he needed to love and to properly care. So his outlet was drinking. His outlet was anger. His outlet was violence in some form or fashion. So, you know, I just want to be able to state that first, just because I want to be able to say that because I don't, you know, he's not here anymore, right? He's passed on, and
right.
I just want to be able to give him that peace and that respect, right? But, you know, yeah, he was very, I would say, lost. And, you know, he would drink, and when he get upset, you know, he would beat my mother and I, you know, and you know, there would be times where he would pull out, you know, different guns and or knives to threaten me or my mother for us to, you know, for him to get his way in any form. If my mother didn't cook dinner, we knew that it was something going to happen, or if, you know, his plate wasn't, you know, correctly heated or whatever, if it wasn't to his liking, it went on that way, you know, the violence started. And, you know, for me defending my mother, I grew up because, you know, I was a mama's boy, right? She was my adopted mother, but she's the only person that I've ever known. And, you know, for me, I grew up just loving women. And I believe that I've always wanted to protect my mother because she always protected me and gave me her best. So, you know, whenever he would start getting upset with her, I would get involved. You know, I'm a little kid, you know, trying to stop this big guy from, you know, beating up on my mother. But I felt my place, you know, to defend. And I've always been that person, right? So, you know, to stop him from hurting her or trying to kill her or whatever the case may be, right? I tried calling the cops. I remember calling the cops one time and telling the cops everything that happened. You know, the cops never took him away. You know, nothing ever happened to him. It continued on, you know, for years on end. It just never stopped. So that put so much fear into my mother and I, right? And we had no place to go. There was, you know, I always remember telling her, Mom, let's get on a bus. Let's leave. Let's go somewhere. You know, I'll go wash cars. I'll go cut grass. Whatever we got to do, let's get on this bus. Let's just go. Let's just get out of here. But I knew that my mom had so much fear in her that she didn't even believe in herself to say, you know, baby, yeah, let's go. Let's take off. She knew that it would be a lot worse if that was the route that we ended up taking. But it was so bad that, you know, fear was instilled into us. And, you know, you were taught that, you know, you don't have a voice, right? You're not going to be able to tell me what I'm not going to do. And so I think that you learn early on as a child, and even as a man, and I feel that that's why I said what I said in the beginning about a father and a man, right? I mean, there is no rule book on how to be a father unless you just really have a good father figure, somebody that was taught from their father and how to be a man. And I don't think that's what he was really taught. So for myself, I didn't really have that learning or seeing the example on how to be. But what I did see and what I did realize, what I took away from all of that, was that I learned what not to be, you know, to my children or to, you know, my spouse. I would never do something to that nature, right? I mean, but, you know, I think that from all of that happened, right, I allowed that for one, right, from all of those incidents that occurred to me. You know, I would say it molded me and it shaped us because all of our paths, right? I mean, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, somehow your past is somewhat shapes you to the person that you are, the way you think, the way you feel, the way you operate. And I would say that I saw myself because I would always, from that, I was so angry and I didn't know how to channel it. right? I felt like, you know, I was just this kid that was just had no voice or just, so I found myself always fighting or just looking for fights, or that was my outlet, was just anger. And I found myself like, wow, why are you doing this? You know, this is not you, you know, and I think you're hurt. And, you know, as a child or as a, you know, as a young man, I think for any man that's on here listening, you know, we're taught. There's so much toxic masculinity in this world where a man can't cry, a man can't show emotion, a man can't do this, and a man can't do that. But, you know, I learned that instead of doing it, you got to find a way. And the way that you actually deal with it is you allow your voice, you use your voice. Say that if something's bothering you, set the boundaries in your life. You know, try doing this instead of doing this, right? I mean, it's always going to be self-destructing habits that you're going to have, right, because of this. But I didn't want to let that become my identity. I looked at it and I said, you know what? I do not want my past to be my biography. I don't want to say, okay, I can stand and I have a choice to rewrite my narrative. I have to change my narrative. I have to change my mindset. I don't have to be this victim because, you know, I had this father in my life who chose to, because he was lost, because he didn't have the tools to operate as a loving person and then give me the tools to be as loving. So I had to love myself first, because loving yourself, right, you have to love yourself first. And then everything else comes. Everything just falls into place. You know, I had to practice self. I had to invest into myself. I had to love myself, right? And it's you know, working out. It's meditating, it's praying, it's just investing into yourself all around, and then you realize, wow, man, I'm doing things that I never did before. I'm trying different methods, because a lot of times that's where a lot of these generational traumas and these curses, because, you know, whether somebody's been through any type of domestic violence, I feel that they end up taking whatever their mother or father has taught them, because that's all they know. We take it, we take it on, we accept it, and we go through our life being this individual, whatever they paint us to be. And it's rare that we ever say, you know what, well, what do I want to do? What do I want to learn? Is there something else out there? And so I think from the self-investment aspect, it was me going out to learn, you know, going to these different places and just learning, wow, this is the way this world operates. This is the way this culture operates. And then you learn to see that there are so many differences in this world. But it's very rare that we use our own mind, right? We don't. We just kind of say, okay, I am what happened to me. I am this and I am that. So I think it's about really changing the narrative and saying, no, I'm powerful. I have a voice. You know, I'm resilient. What I've been through does not make me who I am today. I am powerful. I am resilient. You know, and it's very rare that we say, we're so quick to say something negative about ourselves, right? And this comes from your past. We're so quick. If you were to drop your phone or you were to make a mistake, we are so quick to call ourselves stupid. You're so dumb. You're so this. But I can almost assure you that if anybody's listening, that it's very rare that you look in the mirror and you tell yourself, hey, I love you. You're beautiful. You're amazing. We don't do that. We beat ourselves up more for whatever reason. It's just because of that lack of self-love, that self-care. It's self-respect, your self-worth, right? And I feel that we're all worthy of love. We're all worthy of happiness. And just sometimes that if we don't really deal with the past, you know, sometimes we got to deal with the past, right, in order for us to heal, in order for us to go forward to become who we're destined to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, that was just my take. Yeah, that was my take on the past. My take on the past, right? But I just want to highlight that everything that I mentioned, right, from the weapons being used, you know, as a child, these are things that nobody should see, especially as a child. You know, and I know everybody got their own story. Some people have it worse than others, and I'm not trying to use my story to, you know, have any pity. I don't want that by no means. Or say, oh, this guy was a terrible man and the father who did this. No. Because, you know, I look at it as we all have to learn. It's up to us whether we want to learn, whether we want to really invest into ourselves, become that better person, and say, whether you haven't had a domestic, you know, violence in your life or experienced anything close to it, everybody deals with something traumatic in their life that will ultimately change the way you feel, the way you think about certain things, maybe future relationships. But if you don't invest the time into yourself to learn and just say, man, let me find peace within myself. Let me love me first, because once I love me, you know, once I start loving myself and anybody else that comes along, you know, the happiness and everything, that's just going to be extra.
Yeah.
So,
I was going to say, a lot of us don't do that. That's hard sometimes, especially if you've been through trauma. So it is so important to take care of yourself.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I just want to say that I'm enjoying the story so far, man. You know, you really have so much that you can offer, you know, here at NASCA. And you know, I just want to thank you for being here too, by the way, Jay. I mean, it means a lot, you know, to everyone. What you bring here tonight is very exclusive, a lot of information. And, you know, I just wanted, there's one thing that really just kind of like crossed over my vision of what you're doing, you know, up to this point. But I did have a question, because we like to educate the public here a lot, you know, on situations that may be happening. I mean, even as we speak, I know that it's happening, because how you grew up was really about, you know, the worst situation that any boy could have in his life. And it's going on right now, you know. There's people that are going to be wanting to know, you know, what do we do? How, you know, and this and that. And many, many questions arise when it comes to this kind of stuff, you know. But one thing you said was that at one time, you know, you had actually called the police yourself, you know.
Yep.
You know, first of all, how old were you about that time? And you know, what did it take for you to finally pick that phone up? You know, and were you scared to pick that phone up before? I mean, you know, tell us a little bit about how that happened. And then also, what would you recommend to the public, to anyone that's listening out there that might be going through that same thing around that age that you were?
Yeah, I would say probably I was right around about 10, 9 or 10 years old, and I remember grabbing the phone countless times but shaking as I'm, you know, approaching the phone or as I grab the phone, right? And it's just three numbers. And, you know, and I once I'm getting ready trying to dial these numbers, I'm shaking and I'm scared, and I'm like, oh, my God, he's going to come after me. He's going to hit me. You know, he's in the other room. He's unlocking the gun safe right now. So it's like, you know, and I remember one time that, you know, I tried calling before, right? So I'm just speaking on the other times I tried calling but wasn't successful. The one time I remember trying calling, it happened so fast. I grabbed the phone, I called 911, and I heard the gun safe, and I heard as he was rushing back through the house, and I was like, oh my God. So I had a split second. Now keep in mind, right, you know, a young kid, you don't really think that once the phone is away from the receiver, you're getting nothing. So I do remember that, you know, I had to run out of the house because I was so scared that I ran all the way down to the neighbor's street, to the end of the street, and hid behind her house and, you know, behind her tree. And I had the phone, and I was trying to dial it, but you couldn't get anything because I was so far from the receiver. And so, I mean, that time, that was an epic fail. You know, that didn't work out at all. So I had to hide out, you know, at least for a little while until he passed out drunk or whatever the case was, but I knew that I couldn't go back in the house. So I stayed hidden, you know, and my mother, we kind of split ways as I ran out. She ran out. But I remember at that time I couldn't really help too much because, you know, she was on the floor crying, just hurt. But there was another time where I was successful, and I actually called, and they showed up, right? Yes, I was definitely terrified. But I felt that there was something in me that said, man, you're doing the right thing. And no matter how I was scared, I'm telling you, the adrenaline was running. I was shaking. I was scared. And I was like, man, I'm doing this finally. And I felt this sense of power, this sense of like, oh, my God, I'm doing something. I'm fighting back. And I remember the cops coming over. They get the call. They come over. And I don't remember if I could stay on the phone too long, but I remember just saying, get here now. And, you know, they were so good at, you know, 911 is actually good at tracing the call. So the cops end up just showing up. And I remember him pretending as if he didn't even know what was going on. We were all outside. And I wanted to tell them that what was going on. And I told them, well, I actually got a chance because I felt like, wow, the heroes are here, right? And, you know, as a kid, you see these men in uniform or these women in uniform or anybody, and you're like, wow, here are the heroes. They're here, the firefighters or whatever, they're here. So you think that you can go ahead and you feel safe. But the problem was, by me being honest, you know, and telling them, nothing really happened to him. He lied, found a way to get out of it, and we had to deal with the consequences after they left. So it was like, you want to lie after they left. It was, that's when the beating continued. I mean, even worse. But, and we knew not to call anymore. We knew that. But it was either you endure it, you endure the beating, or you run. And it was no fighting back until I got old enough, and I would say I probably was in junior high. I'm just giving you guys a rough estimate. I remember I got tired of it. I really did. And I felt I got a little stronger, a little bigger, and, you know, and I couldn't stand no longer for a person to sit in the house and tell me what to do while he was hurting my mother and also hurting us and not really providing for us at all. So I said, you know what, I'm done. And I remember I'm not going to curse on the radio, but I remember saying, hey, F you, as I was walking past, and I knew it. And he said, what did you say? And I said, F you, man. And I, you know, got this little energy in me, like, man, I'm ready to fight, like, you know, and I was. So he punched me in the chest. I remember he punching me in the chest, and then I ended up punching him and kicking him. And then he pulled out a knife and was trying to cut me, and I kicked him again, and he fell. And that, at that point, I was able to run out of the house. But while I was getting ready to run out of the house, he ran to go unlock his gun safe again, and that seemed like that was his outlet. Like, you know, oh, I got this young kid in my house trying to, you know, he always looked at me as ungrateful because he adopted me, and he always had this sense of authority where it was, oh, you know, I adopted you, and you are ungrateful. You know, I brought you here. I can take you out, you know, type of thing. You know, that was the mentality that he had. But I remember that I fought back. I remember that I did it. And it got so bad, I couldn't stay in the house anymore. I remember going right around the corner to go stay at my she really wasn't my grandmother. She was just a relative that we called grandmother. And I ended up staying there for a while until I was actually able to go out on my own. But the relationship was really, really bad. And it was just so bad that, you know, my mother endured so much pain until, you know, rest her soul, that now she passed on, and then, you know, obviously he passed on, and then, you know, I looked at it as, you know, here I am living my life now, right? I'm no longer in that. I'm past all of this. And, you know, you realize, like, wow, why am I behaving this way? Why am I so angry? Why am I fighting? Why is there so much pain, right? And it's like you really realize, and you really just take time to listen to yourself and really just say, hey, man, you're out here fighting. You're doing the wrong things, dude. You're going to end up either dead or in jail, you know? And it's like, so I had to make a choice. I had to understand. I said, you know what, man, I lived my entire life hiding or being in fear or not saying anything or not talking back or not having the power to say anything. If I were to say to anybody that is listening, that is afraid to call, anybody that is afraid, I think the most important thing to do is, whether you're with, you know, your significant other that's abusive, you know, if there's a child that's, you know, afraid of it, or, you know, I feel like there's so many people that you can reach out to. There's so many places that you can go, you know, if you're in school. I just say that don't be afraid to step up. When you know that you're in danger, when you know stuff is, you know, there's violence in the home, and you know that, hey, my father's not being loving. This ain't my father. This is not who that says they love me, you know, and then they beat you. I feel that you should find your power. And I say that only because find the power in your voice. You have a voice. You're very powerful. Don't allow the situations to control you. And I know it's tough. I know it's hard. Trust me. And it's very scary. But you have to know how powerful you really are. You have to know that you have so many options, so many choices. And you don't have to stay in something if you're not happy. If you're afraid, or you know that you're not being loved and you're being abused, You got to walk away. You got to leave that situation. I don't care if it's a makeup and it's the first time it ever happens. You see the signs. You see the red flags. You got to leave. You got to get out. You got to report it. You got to talk to somebody. You got to have an outlet. You know, and if you're a guy, I will honestly say, speaking from experience, we are taught, and I mentioned earlier about toxic masculinity, where, you know, we are taught that you can't cry, you can't share, you can't have emotions, you can't do any of those things because you're, you know, there's just, it's just the way that we're taught. You got to be macho. You got to be this. But I would say to you that share your emotions. You got a story. Don't be embarrassed of your story. Don't, if you want to cry, cry. If you want to kick, you want to scream, let it out. Don't allow anybody to tell you if something hurts you, it hurts you. If you want to express how you feel, then express how you truly feel. But you have a choice, right? You can either sit and try to impress everyone and try to make them happy, or you're going to do with what makes you happy. And I like this quote, actually, that says, you know, some people, they'd rather be at war with themselves and at peace with the world than at peace with themselves and at war with the world. So they'd rather follow the trends. They'd rather follow, you know, be so, you know, conflicting with who they really are, and then just to follow these trends to be cool and to do all these different, but no. What's cool is you honoring who you are, honoring your story, and honoring what really happened. Because no matter how you try to bury it, no matter how much you try to hide it, it's going to show up in your life one way or another through self, you know, destructive behavior, you know, fighting, drinking, you know, maybe you're gambling, maybe you're doing something that is causing you to hide who you truly are, who you truly are. And so all I would really say is that stop trying to follow these trends. Follow your own trend. Follow who you truly are. Embrace who you are, your uniqueness, who you are, what you've been through. And it's not embarrassing. Don't be ashamed of it. Because I'm standing here right now in my little office, and I'm sharing my story with you guys. I'm not embarrassed because who I am today, who I've become today, you know, I created a business. I went on to get my degree in occupational health and safety. I traveled the world, worked for Missile Defense, you know, so I didn't allow any of those things to hold me back. And I no longer work Missile Defense. I end up running my own business, Intangible Motivation. It's all over social media. I have a YouTube channel. And what I do is I motivate and inspire people to be their best. And I know a lot of Intangible Motivation people, my followers, they don't really know the beauty behind what I do. Because what I find so beautiful in it to myself, and I'm saying this to myself, and I'm saying this on the air, is that I found my voice. I found my strength, and I'm going to use it. And I will be damned if I allow anybody in this world to not be heard, to not anybody feel that, man, I'm not powerful enough, and just they think less of themselves. I'm gonna do everything in my power until God calls me home to say, you're powerful. I'm going to get on it because there's so much drama and politics and negative stuff that's on social media, bullying, trolling. There's so many different things, right? Trends, this challenge, that challenge. But I'm going to be that light. I'm going to be that light to everybody's darkness because whether people want to admit to it or not, we all got something going on in our lives. If you want to wear a mask, if you want to wear a facade, then that's okay. But I want you to know that I'm here. And I will always be there because I found my voice. I found my power, and I'm going forward. I'm marching in that light. And I think about this, right? It's there's so much going on. We don't know there's some things that people are going through. They're hiding it. Or maybe something happened to them last night. I know the best method to me is that we should always practice empathy. We should always practice kindness. Because if somebody's upset at you and they're angry, they're just showing you their ugly side. There's something that's hurting that person inside, something that they're not telling you, something that they don't have to tell you. But that's on that person. But we should always, and I'm still working on this as well. It's a really, really tough skill to master, is practicing empathy. Because if somebody in traffic cuts you off, hey, mother F, you know, it's like, it's not about you. And they call you stupid, they call you ugly. It's not about you. It's about them. People just do a lot of projecting. So for me, I just want to be the light. So, like I said, I went on despite all that occurred to me as a child. I'm standing here today. I'm sharing my story. I've been sharing my story. But the beauty behind a tangible motivation is that I'm giving you nothing, but I'm leaving you with everything. You've taken, I'm planting a seed in your mind, in your life. So the day that God takes me to God, day God says, hey, come on home. I want to be remembered. I want to be remembered for who I stand for. Not to say that, oh, hey, you remember that guy that was adopted and he was abused as a child and, you know, all these different things happened to him. You remember he did this? And No, man, that guy went on. He did some major things. This is what he was trying to do. This is what he was working to build. This is what he was doing in the community. I'm doing this for the children that don't have a voice. I'm doing this for all the grown-ups, for all the adults that are afraid to speak up. They're ones that don't believe in themselves. I'm going to be the reason. I'm going to motivate you. I'm going to inspire you because there's nothing or no one that is stronger than you. And we have to believe that, and we have to know that because I believe it. And that's why I stand here today. And tangible motivation is what I give on the daily, and that's what I would always give.
Well, man, I can't tell you enough how impressed I am. Yeah. I mean, there's so much there. You know, you were trapped basically as a child, you know, and to see you grow, you know, into this man now is just unbelievable. I mean, there was so much good advice there, you know, you running and hiding, actually. You know, you got out of there. But, you know, to me, I think one of the main things that I'm seeing in you is that you believed in yourself, you know, to do this. And I think that's one of the most important things in the messages with this is that, you know, you have to have the confidence to get out of there, you know, and do the things that you did, you know. And that's why you're here tonight, man, is to let everybody know what it's really like in this world, you know, the real side. And you're doing such a wonderful job at that, you know. I do want to say before I leave this little area here is that we also have another guest that has called in. It's Reverend Hank McGrath, okay? Jay, I wanted you all to know each other. I know Reverend Hank is also another brother, man. He's been on the show.
Okay.
Family member here at NASCA. So I just want to bring him in just for a second to say hi and let him, he's been listening.
Absolutely.
And let him give a comment because he won't be here all night, but he's one of my great friends, man. So I just want to introduce you to him, okay? This is Hank McGrath. Hi, Hank.
Hey, what's up, brother? And what's up, Justin J. Johnson? It's an honor, brother.
Yes, sir. It's an honor as well.
Listen, all right? I'm an Irishman, born in the gutter. You know what I'm saying? And when I listen to you, it's exactly what I wanted to hear, not so much for myself because I'm a warlord, you know. I grew up with the warlords and shit, you know? But, I keep it real, right to the last day of my life. I'm 66, all right? But when I listen to you, bro, it sounds like, and get what I'm saying now, a Christian, just take what I'm saying, all right, without the Christianity. And that's what people needed to do. We needed more of that amongst the Latin kings, vignettas, the 5%ers and the people like that. They didn't have to get an emblem. All they had to do was put that stuff aside. People come to God on their own. And instead, just talk with the inspiration from the soul and spirit. And that comes out pure in you. And I want to bless you, man. That's a great thing.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately my take on that is that I've been all over the world, been to different religions. And, you know, I never want to be a person just to pick out one religion because we all have our own beliefs. We, you know, there's different religions that I've seen, all the countries that I've visited that have their own gods. And you know, I look at it as in their own beliefs, and they have their right to that. But I want to be able to touch your soul and touch your life and just say, you know, whatever. And some people, there's some people that really ultimately don't believe in God, and that's okay. But yeah, whatever there is a higher power, there's the universe, whatever you believe in, I want to be able to tell you that whatever you desire and whatever you want, right, whatever you're doing and whatever you want to do, it can happen. And, you know, just go to your higher power, right, and ultimately because you have a purpose, ask for your purpose. Ask for why are you here? And all of that at some point will be revealed, right? The people that have come into your life, right? The Johns, the Rays, the Darlene, right? That's it. You know, yourself, you know, and I look at it like, you know, I think we meet, I feel, no, I think, I know we meet everybody in our life for a reason, and there are no mistakes. So I just want to say that I definitely appreciate you for listening and also hearing that in my voice and knowing, because this is what I stand for. I stand for the world. I don't stand because this color, that color, I don't stand for this, you know what I mean, this religion, that religion. We're all on this floating planet together, and I will stand for anybody. I don't care who you are. I love you. I respect you, and I'm here for anybody.
And the kids too, man.
This is good. I just got to say this now. Right where you're at, the channel you're coming from, Justin, is right where people need to hear that are in pain, because the pain keeps their mind so busy, they don't touch their soul and spirit. They don't look at it the way that you're talking, that, you know, pain can, you can rise up from all this, all right? They don't see that. They see the distance of more suffering. And your motivational speaking, all right? There's so many people that do that. I mean, even Mike Tyson's doing that now, which is really cool. You know what I mean? And Frank Shamrock, badass, all right?
Yep.
Suffered a lot in his life, abuse and everything. And that, he goes around speaking like yourself. And you got the magic. And this is what's needed. Keep it there. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's ultimately what I want to do is just to, like I said, ultimately what it boils down to is not having a voice and living in fear. That's not the case anymore. I'm going to use my voice, because when you use your voice, like Les Brown said, you tell the world who you really are. And I want to tell the world who I am. I'm not embarrassed. It doesn't embarrass me. It doesn't make me feel bad or anything, because I know, because I don't identify with that. I don't have the victim mindset. I moved on from that. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, you think about it and you feel it, because you got to always reflect and remember, like, okay, to stay humble. Hey, I remember my humble beginnings. I remember everything that I endured, but I don't want to fall back into being that person. I don't want to fall back into being what I've been through or identifying with that and then saying, hey, I got these habits, and let me justify my habits based off of my past. And again, I say it again, my past is not my biography. It will
that's
not
right.
be my biography.
That's right. Righteous. And that's the comment I put up too. Hey, you know what I mean, John? Justin, both of you, righteous. Stay with it. And with that, I'll sky unless John needs me. And I send my love and power to you, Justin, right?
Awesome. Thank you. Nice meeting you, sir.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here. It means a lot, you know, with both of you even talking about this kind of stuff. You know, we need to hear this from each other. You know, it's all about being a team in the long run. And let me tell you something. When you get guys together and women together that have been through the experience that we have been through, you know, it's all about telling our stories, man, sharing it. Because let me tell you something, these kids are growing up. We grew up. Look how fast, you know, look where we are. So we have to set that platform, that example of where to go, what to do, how to handle it, deal with situations on a daily basis. You know, we need to be there. And by, you know, both of you all doing what you're doing, it's such a wonderful thing in life to know that y'all even exist on this planet. Is beautiful in itself, you know. So, Reverend Hank, I want to thank you so much for being here, and I'm going to turn it back over to Kim.
Yes, peace, love, and revolution.
Thank you so much, man.
Thank you, Reverend.
Have a good night.
You too.
Hey, Jay, this is Kim. First of all, I haven't had an opportunity to say either that I'm so sorry of everything that's happened to you, and it is traumatizing. I mean, that's why we're all here on this show, is because we've all been traumatized as children to some degree, and even though it's different, I think, like you said, we've all kind of got this commonality of it, you know, is we all went through some kind of trauma. And one thing that you said that always makes me think of this as well is that you realized at one point that wasn't the life that you wanted to live, that you wanted to change and you wanted to be different. And I think that that is what breaks that generational cycle. A lot of times it was generational in my family until I decided, no, it's not going to happen. It's not just going to happen. You know, I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen instead of just maybe it'll happen or maybe it won't. So I also feel like with me anyway, I remember as a young child, and I was very blessed to be sent to church at 5 years old on a school bus. So my parents weren't going with me, but I was being, you know, I was being taught and I was being fed into and building that foundation. I think that that's what helped me survive all of my abuses as well throughout my childhood. But one thing that really kind of stands out with all of us, I think a lot of us that are on NASCA, is that we made that decision. And I remember specifically going over to a friend's house and seeing how their family was operating and interacting with each other and laughing and having fun. And this is so different than my house, and that's what I want. So I think a lot of, you know, somebody being able to see that as a young child even, that there is a different way. I don't have to be stuck in this family dynamic forever. I can make my own choices at some point and I can get out of it. And that's what breaks my heart, and too, knowing that there are people out there that don't ever see that and they don't, you know, want that for their families. And then they just continue to go downhill within the generations as generation to generation goes. So I just applaud you for being brave as a child, you know, for knowing that there was a different way. And I thank you for sharing your story as well, because it does make a difference to a lot of people. So thank you. And I know that Darlene probably wants to say something as well. So.
Yes. Hello. Hello, Jay.
Hey, darling.
I am so privileged to be a part of your life, and you reached out to me and stuff. I'm so privileged. And I really like how you say the past does not define who we are. That is things that's happened to us, but it does not define the person that we are. And I really loved hearing that aspect of that. I wondered if there were any other children in the home besides you, or whether you were the only one.
It was my adopted brother, but I didn't mention him. But I didn't mention him because we don't really talk anymore as we used to. But he was actually with me as well. So the same story. He was with me as well. We ran down. And, I mean, I didn't share this, but I will share this, because I didn't want to mention it because we don't talk anymore. But I'll mention this one incident with him, Darlene. Was one of the cases where, you know, we couldn't run out of the house. And, you know, we tried to run out of our mother, but she ended up getting out of the house, and he trapped us in the house and trapped her outside, left her outside, and he just had us both on the couch. And I remember him having – you know, this big revolver gun. And it's crazy that I remember exactly what it was. It was a Red Heart Ruger 44 Magnum. And he had it cocked, and he asked my other brother, remember my adopted brother at the time, right? He asked him, would you like me to kill this mother effer? You know, asking him, like, hey, putting it basically on him. And he cocked the gun back, and he was drunk, and he was upset, and, you know, that was his way. He felt that I was protecting my mother, so he wanted to end me. And so he put it all on my younger brother, which was, hey, do you want me to do this? Just say yes, and I will do this. So it was him as well with me as well. But, you know, like I said, I didn't mention him because we don't talk, and I didn't want to share his story or anything like that. But it was just, I know that it's something that we've endured together. It was always running and always trying to battle, but he was just little. He couldn't really do as much as I could, but follow the leader, which was, you know, whoever was the strongest at the time.
Yes. And the reason why basically I asked, you know, whether or not you were the only sibling, because of course, you know, there's a lot of times there's other kids that had to endure the same kind of torture and torment as well. even though we don't go and share their stories, it's, you know, a lot of people wonder if a person had to go it alone or whether they had a sibling who had to endure it as well.
Yeah. No, I definitely understand. Yep. And he was definitely a part of that as well. And my mother, she was a foster parent, and she grew to become at some point. I don't remember exactly how it went, but I think it's a stage. But before us, she had a lot of foster children. This was her job. She loved to do it. She loved to be a mother. And I remember at whatever point she ended up, I guess, evolving in this stage within the government or the facility where she could adopt. And she chose me, and I remember her choosing my little brother as well.
Oh. Sounds like she was a good lady.
She definitely was. She couldn't really have children of her own, so she wanted to be a mother, and she, you know, and it's crazy, and that's the craziest thing, and I think that a lot of people don't highlight, right? And I want to point this out as well. You know, there's so many people that are in the kids, I'd rather say, that are in the system, right? And being adopted, me not knowing my real parents, you know, you think that once you're out of this boys' home or this group home or, you know, and you go into this, oh, I'm about to have a real family. Oh, my God, it's going to be real love. I'm going to see a real Christmas. I'm going to see, it's going to be amazing. I'm going to be so safe and loved, you know, and warm and the things I see on the movies. And you get into this home, and it's totally not what you imagined or this idea of what it was. And that goes on till this day where there are children who long for love. You know, they want to be loved. And, you know, then they get into this home, and whatever that father or mother is going through, that's where you see it. It's on the news where these children, they get hurt. Or you see them even with their biological parents where they're hurting these children, and the children don't have a voice. They're not saying anything. And it's just because sometimes these people, I would say, they're so broken, they're so hurt. And I'm not justifying any of the behavior, any of the violence, any of the killings or anything that the evil, just really bad things that these people do. But I'm just saying that these people have to be lost from a mental perspective, just be hurting from so much in order to do something to a child like that. I feel that, to John's point, John mentioned earlier, and I love it, that the children are our future. And if we can't show them what adults can really be like, we can lead by example and show them the love and the care and show them that, hey, look, I'm going to smile at you. You can smile back. You know what I mean? And it's I'm going to show you that this world, not everybody's a monster. But we got to love these children. We got to give them everything that they need so they can grow into being these strong, these children that believe in themselves, that are looking for the love, right? They know that they're loved, right? And so that's what I see, is that there's not enough, I'd say, attention on that as well, because just because you're adopted doesn't mean you're safe. And that's what I wanted to highlight with that.
Exactly. I'm glad you pinpointed that out as well. And I know there's a lot of people... I have a next daughter-in-law that was adopted, and she's missing out, you know what I'm saying? She always felt like her mom didn't care and all that. So even though the mother did what was best for my ex-daughter-in-law, still you kind of like miss that bond and think that you're not wanted. And kids that's been through a lot of what we've been through, a lot of them do not understand or get the privilege of understanding what love is about.
Yeah, and we don't know the definition of it. And sometimes that's why it's so important, right? I mean, no, we can't change the past, but we can't change the future. And that's why it's so important, right? No matter what you've been through, you know, sometimes we can't help everyone, but we can help ourselves. And we could at least learn to love ourselves first, right? I mean, try to change your narrative, believing in yourself and loving yourself. And I know it's hard. It takes work, especially after enduring so much. But everything. It's like training a muscle. It's like going to the gym. I love the gym. Going to the gym and working out. The more you go, the more you do it, the stronger you're going to get, the more fit you're going to become. And it's just like our brain, our minds. It's the same thing. We got to work on our minds, too, because it all affects us, right? And if you can think on this memory and you can – go ahead, Tony.
I was just thinking that it's not an easy, slow, fast process. It's one that you've got to build up to and keep working at and striving for, you know, because even today, even though I have made a lot of leaps and bounds, I still falter at times, and that's human nature, though.
Yeah, he brings up a good point, you know, about, like, going to the gym, because it's really about self-care and maintenance, right, with your mental health, too, and your physical health, you know, to keep us going, you know, and that's why we have this platform available. It's beautiful. It really is.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much, Jay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Jay, I was wondering, so how old were you again when you were adopted?
I was about 2 or 3 years old.
Oh. You don't remember a whole lot about it, but you remember certain things?
Yeah, I mean, so the there's this I do remember, not remember everything, right, because it was a young age, but I mean, what I'm saying is that I do remember, I have this book that I have. It's my little personal book that when I got out of the group home and I was finally adopted, the caseworker put together this little book for me, and it had a little bit of everything about my past and about, you know, my mother, father, how, you know, my family, my biological parents, you know, there was, you know, drug paraphernalia in the house, and they left us in the house, you know, with no food, you know, dirty diapers, and what happened, what sparked all of it for me to get taken away was I was this little kid walking through this apartment complex, and I had stepped on a glass. I guess there was some broken glass in the house, and I cut my foot, and I was walking through the apartment complex just crying and just being extra loud, so somebody ended up calling the cops, and that's how CPS got involved. And they end up taking me away to I guess stay in the group home until I was finally adopted.
And then your adopted brother wasn't your biological?
No. We were adopted at different times, so I don't remember everything about his story. I think he knows his story just as much as I do. But I actually, like I said, it's this little, literally like a little red binder, and I call it the red book, and it's just kind of like you know, I guess it's from a coloring book that I colored in, and pictures from when I was a child, and I had this little pet white rat, right? I was I love white rats, I guess, little rats, and now I don't love them. I see when I'm going to run, but I guess that's how we evolved. But I mean, my point is, I have this little book that pretty much gives me little bits of details about what happened, from why I was taken away, and they asked the other family members if they wanted me, and they said no, they didn't have room, or for whatever reason they said no, right? And so they took me into the system, and I stayed into the system until I was adopted.
That's been so scary. Sorry. That little boy thinking about that little boy breaks my heart.
Yeah, that's what everybody does. I kind of get everybody when they think about that little guy just, you know, walking through the apartment complex, just, you know, his foot bleeding and screaming and wanting mommy, you know, and I think I get everybody with that story, and they break down because I look at it to myself, and that was the little boy that I ignored for years. Is that, you know, I call him Little Justin. I call him Little Jay. And I actually made a poem. I wrote a poem about it. And it's versus who I am today versus the Little Jay, who was that person at that time and how, you know, when you're a child, you know, you have this imagination of being this and being a superhero and having these superpowers and being this when you grow up. And we lose that imagination as we get older, right? Because we get into the world, somebody tell you your idea or your dream is stupid, and we go along with that, right? And so we lose our sense of, you know, imagination and that idea of our sense of purpose of whatever it is we want to become. We lose that because we listen to others. And so, like I said, I wrote a little poem to honor myself, and that's how I did a lot of, you know, dealing with it as well. I wrote poems for the mother that I never knew. Her name was Charlotte, and I wrote a poem. It's on YouTube as well, but I wrote a poem for her. I never met her, never knew her. And so I wrote a poem telling her basically that I forgive her and that I love her, you know, basically. And I think that in order for you to heal, you got to forgive these people. You can't live in this hurt. You can't live in this pain. And it's, you have to go on with your life. I'm not saying it, you know, to forget and just say, oh, hey, and pretend like it didn't happen. No. But I don't think that it should be a daily reminder. And I don't think it's something that you should always focus on. I know sometimes it could be hard for some, and I know everybody don't have that strength, but what I can tell you from who I am today is that it takes work. A lot of prayers. I know that little boy who was out there bleeding out, that little Justin, that little Jay that was out there, God was with me the entire time, and he stands with me even till today. And I can say that just have faith in your higher power, really focus on yourself, really love yourself, invest into yourself. You know, have a voice. Stand up for yourself. Really believe in yourself. And know that you are capable and possible of doing anything in this world.
Look at that. Okay. You are. I was going to say, before you mentioned that you were a motivational speaker, I was going to say you seem like a motivational speaker. So, but we need that.
Yeah, motivational speaker and a life coach. And it's like I said, I'm not coming from, you know, because, you know, a lot of people, they frown upon motivational speakers, and they frown upon this person is trying to do this, and who are they? And, you know, and it's like, no, I'm not coming from a place of that. I'm not. I guess what I'm coming from a place of is that I'm trying to inspire anybody, no matter where you come from. If you didn't endure what I've endured, if you haven't been through this or that, and but we've all dealt with something traumatic, or we're going to experience something traumatic. And I just want to know that I come from a place that comes from nothing, that came from hurt, that came from sadness. And I just feel that I'm going to be able to inspire, and I will inspire people to become their best, because I don't want nobody to experience or to go down their life living in, you know, sadness or pain or feeling they can't do something. And it's funny because I learned something from Ray, another guy that I met that everybody else on the call knows as well. And he mentioned some statistics. I can't remember exactly the statistics, but they were actually pretty high. The percentage was pretty high. The people that were adopted or been through some sort of, you know, abuse in their life or whatever, they become homeless. They're not successful. They don't live successful lives. They end up becoming addicts or alcoholics or, you know, just – And I didn't even know those statistics, but when he told me that, it even hit home for me even more to say, damn, you know, I'm going to keep doing this, because I don't want no child in this world, right, to go forth in life and not believe in themselves and say, hey, I'm destined for the streets, or I'm destined to be part of this gang, or I'm destined to do drugs, or I'm destined just to end my life. You know, I stand against bullying, and I stand for mental health, and it's a real thing. And I love this world. I love children. I love everyone. That's just who I am. And I'm going to make sure that whatever it is that I can do, that I can give back and inspire and motivate and help people in this world. That's why I made Tangible Motivation. That's why I am the life coach. That's why I am, you know, the poet, because I love writing poetry as well. And it's something that I'm good at. And it's just basically taking all of my talents and just combining them in every which way to help people, to make them feel good and say, wow, if this guy can go through that, or this person went through that, man, I can do that too, or I will do that. I want to be the sense of hope.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thanks for that, Jay. What else could you tell us? Like, what are, what are you hoping for the future? What do you have in the works for the future? Or, you know, just maybe some thoughts on it.
Well, so there's, you know, so obviously going global with, I mean, I'm already global with everything that I'm doing. I mean, Tangible Motivation has a lot of followers from all over the world. I plan to, instead of doing things on Zoom or WhatsApp business, I plan to travel to these countries, travel to these places where the environment is not as good, so where people don't really have the motivation and the inspiration that they need. So I want to be able to travel around the world to help people from all over the world, right? And at some point, I want to create this ranch, a recreational ranch, right, for people that are less fortunate or for anybody, for mothers who can't get away or, you know, fathers, whomever. It's not just, you know, mothers who are dealing with the violence. It's also the men as well. So, I mean, just I want to create this ranch where, you know, children can come here. I have horses, and I want to build this facility where they can come out, and if they want to sing, they want to come out and do some engineering. They want to learn how to do their taxes. They want to learn how to, you know, just do all the things that I wasn't taught. I want to be able to let them come to my ranch, right? Camp night. Let's learn how to build a fire. Let's just have fun. Let's dance. Let's recite poetry. But most importantly, use your voice. To come out here, we're going to teach you how to get up here, public speaking, whatever it may be. But I want to create a ranch for less fortunate families to come and just have an amazing time. And also, at some point, because I firmly believe in the gym, I believe in fitness, and I want to own my own gym at some point as well.
I think, Jay, you remind me of another friend that I know, and maybe you can look him up, and he's at YouTube also, Aged Out Angels, and they got different programs where they go and help train up to a certain age, you know, about balancing checkbooks, how they're able to be stable citizens and be able to take care of themselves.
Exactly, exactly. And that's exactly, I definitely will give him a check him out and connect. But, yeah, that's something that I definitely want to do. I definitely want to connect with pretty much anybody in whatever part. It doesn't have to be global. It can be, you know, your local community. If I can come out and we can talk to children, we can talk to, you know, anybody really and just inspire them. And just, you know, there's so many things that I've learned. There's so many books that I've read, so many books that I'm reading that I plan on reading. And I dedicate my life to being a lifelong, you know, student, constantly learning and evolving and growing. Just because I'm standing here today and I'm telling you guys all these things that I've done, you know, I also want to say that I'm constantly trying to evolve and focus on the next step and trying to become, you know, ultimately whatever it is that God wants me to do, who he wants me to become, I want to be that. And so I'm always working to just improve and just, you know, what can I teach? What can I help? How can I help here? How can I help there? You know, so that's just me and who I really am, and I know that Ray and I actually, we're going to start this podcast where we're going to do Mental Health Mondays, and it'll be every Monday we'll have a segment, we may interview people and get them on there just to have an outlet and just inspire them to not just come on and talk about what happened to you, not just to come on and talk about your traumas, and you can come there and you can let it be your outlet as well, but also, you know, what tools are you using? What are you doing as a path forward? You know, who do you have in your environment? What's in your circle that's helping you to inspire you to become better? How are you focused on your mental health? How are you investing into yourself? You know, self-love, self-care, self-investment is important. So that's something that, you know, we're working on as well, trying to pull all of those, you know, the logistics together to bring that podcast to life and just basically just ultimately just help as many people as I possibly can and that we possibly can.
I look forward to when you do have that up and running.
Yeah,
but also remember,
myself.
Remember what I keep saying, too. I made you laugh in one of the group things the other day when I said, you know, people are talking about we should do this, we should do that. I said, stop shitting on yourself.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. I love that. It's hilarious. Because at first, I didn't hear it because I think your computer broke up, and I think I remember getting having you to say, what did you say? Because I think your computer broke up, and I thought you said the other thing, but it was like then when you actually said it, I was like, oh, my God, like that's, it's so clever, but it sounds like the other thing, but it's really amazing. It's so powerful at the same time, you know, being facetious, but it's so powerful that it's like, man, don't tell yourself what you can't do. Don't talk about what you can't do, right? Can is not even a word, right? Nothing's impossible. That word says impossible. And I love all of those things, right? That everything to do with motivation, everything that has to do with inspiring you to be your best, you know, and I'm a firm believer in just, you know, your circle, who you're around, is really how you're ultimately going to grow. How do you evolve from where you were, what you've been through, to who you are today, and where you ultimately want to go? Because ultimately you become who you hang around. And sometimes you got to change that environment. You got to change the people that you really spend your time with. And, you know, you'll never have to worry about, in my opinion, you never have to worry about, at least in my case, you know, hanging with the wrong crowd and doing the wrong things and going back to the old habits and the old behaviors, because you're going exactly where you need to go, where your purpose is.
Yes, and where, if you mind letting everybody know where you're residing now or where you're around, and I hope, I look forward to you and Ray starting that the videos on mental health.
So I actually, you know, had some troubling times and ended up moving down to, I'm actually in Puerto Rico, and I actually connected with, and also I wanted to point this out as well. When I used to travel the world and work for Missile Defense, I used to help a lot of the soldiers with their mental health and talking to them and inspiring them. And I had one of my closest buddies of mine that was in the military. He took his life. He committed suicide. You know, he didn't feel like he had any more in him to live. So I'm actually down here in Puerto Rico, and I've connected with a young lady that actually is one of the mission supporters, right? The mission continues for the Wounded Warrior Project. And what they do is helping a lot of the soldiers, committing to helping the soldiers with their mental health. Because like we talked about trauma, no matter what it is, what form of fashion, trauma is trauma. And so it's about helping them with their mental health, letting them know that they need to have, that they have an outlet. We're going to give it to them. So I connected with her down here in Puerto Rico. So I know we had some plans of working together and talking to some of the soldiers. We had, this is just fresh, just started connecting with her. And she's actually doing a lot of amazing work down here. And so I've been trying to, you know, build my base here and connect with different people and just kind of spread the word. Pretty much everywhere I go, no matter who I talk to, no matter who I'm around, I always try to leave you with something and try to, you know, help. Like I said, just my goal is to help as many people as I possibly can, just to let you know, plant that seed in your life, plant that seed in your head and let you know that you're worthy. It's possible for you to overcome this and you have what you need. Because if there's anybody that's listening, anybody hearing me right now, I want you to know you got a brother in me. I love you. I respect you. I care for you. I will always be here if you need an ear. If you feel like you don't got an outlet, you got me. I will always be here for you. And just, you want to look out for me. It's Intangible Motivation. I'm on YouTube, Facebook, all the social media platforms for the most part. But that's really ultimately what everything that I'm working on right now. And there's more to come. Whatever God shows me and tells me where to go, that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You have to be open to that.
Yeah, and I also, too, I just want to point out, too. I wanted to point this out too as well, and I know I'm just, you guys got me cranked up now, so you should be, you know, feel bad now.
No, I'm listening away. I love it.
I wanted to say that, John. I know I extended myself to John, and I also extended myself to Darlene as well. I want you guys to know that, you know, when I use certain words, when I say words, I mean them. If I call you my brother, if I tell you I love you, if I tell you I respect you, I stand by what I say. I would love to also in the future, and I can speak it into existence, God's will, that, you know, perhaps I can connect with the NASCA group a little bit more in depth to working with you guys to help, you know, other people that are having a tough time trying to go forward to their purpose or move past, you know, their traumas and things that have happened to them. So, you know, I definitely want to extend myself to that, and I would love to, you know, be more in depth in working with you guys as well.
Also, you know, here at NASCA, you know, there's a bunch of ambassadors that we go ahead and we agree that we'll take calls or whatever if somebody needs us anytime, basically. And you'll be welcome to even do that, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
My
phone is here. Yeah, I would love that.
Yeah, I can get that done for sure. Absolutely. You know, As I listen to you, you know, you remind me of something that you know, I have to just kind of throw into the show because every time, you know, when I hear your story and hear you speak and you know, where you're coming from, you know, there's one area with NASCA on the website, okay, and that's when you go in to, you know, all the resources that we have available on the front page, right? So when you do that, one of the red blocks on there, okay, there is a section that says, you know, protecting our kids, okay, and also all about recovery, you know. So when you click onto those, you have a awesome way of really putting into true life perspective what NASCA also has available, you know, through the recovery, okay, side. So we do have a page on that. So if you scroll down on that recovery page, there's a section there, and I want to read this to you because this is what I'm getting at, is that the thoughts that are here, and these are coming from true survivors, okay, that have been through everything, okay, from any type of abuse you could imagine, mental, physical, all of it, okay? So these thoughts go like this, and I want to read this to all of y'all because I think that this is what Jay's all about. So it starts out like this. It says, "We are innocent and guilt-free, yet share feelings of shame and fear. We should accept no responsibility for our abuse in childhood. Our low self-esteem and feelings of worthlessness are lies. Our lives change forever in the moment we were first violated. We were diverted from our destiny. Our scars can become a permanent part of who we are, defining us. We suffer as a kind of insanity, which can involve deep depression, anger, resentments we carry, can control us, but we are not alone, okay? We're only as sick as our secrets. So recovery is possible if we work for it, work together, okay? We can complete change in our character, and we can have a brand new attitude on life, feel useful. We can serve the world by helping rid of child abuse. It's better to recover together than to survive alone, okay? So, you know, I want to reemphasize what I just read to you all is that, you know, we actually have this on our page. And when I hear somebody like you, Jay, come on to the show and tell a story like you have told us tonight, you know, it only reminds me of how important it is that you're here tonight and how important it is that you tell your story. Because this is what it's all about. It's about the real, true stuff life that we are still going to be facing. But we're making a huge difference because of you, you know. So this is why I picked that certain area. All I could think about was getting there when I kept hearing your story. I'm like, man, this is incredible, you know. It's just the motivation, your attitude, you know, the direction that you are leading, not only yourself but people, okay, is that, you know, you are taking care of yourself, man. You know, you are focused, and you are on the right road, you know, and I'll always be on that same highway as you, brother, I can tell you that. And I know you're going to have a lot of family members now because this show, you know, can always be brought up on a scan number, okay? So I'll make sure that this show, you know, gets put on all the platforms and for people to understand what it's about, and that you get, you know, your credibility, Tom, that you deserve, because that's what we do here. You know, we give you that opportunity, man, to come forward, tell your story. And that's another thing, too, is that, you know, by you being here as a man, stepping up to the table or to the plate and knocking the ball out to the park, you know, and being that leader of saying, you know, it's okay to pick that phone up and make that phone call. If you at home and you, you know, want to come forward or you need help, you know, we're here for you. And Jay, you're a perfect example, you know, of someone that we need, you know, to show us the way, man. And I really appreciate you being here tonight. You know, I can't wait to hear, you know, what else you have to say. Absolutely.
John, I'm grateful even for the thought, man, just for everything. Just, you know, meeting you, we had our conversation, we exchanged stories, and, you know, I just want to say, I'm number one, man, I'm grateful for connecting with you, Darlene, and just being a part, you know, of the family. And like mm-hmm. I said, I love to say the family, man, because, you know, if anybody came from where I came from, you firmly believe in what family really is and what family can be and what it cannot be, you know. So sometimes I look at it, I embrace the ones that are in my life. I embrace the ones who are, you know, I guess supporting you, helping you in any form of fashion, but it also is reciprocation, you know. You know, how are we helping each other? And I want you to know that regardless of if you did anything or anybody does anything for me, or, you know, I'm going to still extend myself and say, you know, we all have our rough days. You know, we have our good days, our strong days, but we all have our dark days. We all have those moments where it's like, ah, man, I'm being negative, you know, depending on whatever it is that's going on in your life. We always need that one. I mean, or it's a group, or it's a family, right? And not necessarily saying that it needs to be blood family is not what I mean, but I mean, like that family, that group, that go-to that's like, hey, man, I need a pick-me-up. You know, I'm having a tough time. And so I just feel like, you know, being in this family, you know, I know you guys hear a lot of power, a lot of strength. It took a lot of work for me to become this man that I am today. And I give all my credit, all grace, all praises to God, because I wouldn't be who I am today. If those circumstances or those things that didn't happen to me, you know, everything that happened, all the pain, everything is going to be used for a purpose. You know, all the hurt, everything, I'm going to use that because God put me through that for a reason. And I'm here today, I'm standing here today, so I can save the next person who may not be just as strong, that may not know the things that I know and have experienced what I've experienced. But that's why I stand here today, and that's why Intangible Motivation is what it is. That's why Jay Johnson is who he is today, is because I give it to God, and God put me through this for a reason. He allowed me to be, to weather that storm, to be so resilient, to go forth. I don't think nobody could think during those moments that, dang, I'm going to get through this. All you see is the darkness. All you see is the waves crashing and trying to knock you out into the water. But after, when it's said and done, just like I said, after the gym, you get through it, you're stronger. Wow, I got through that. Wow, I'm stronger. Or, man, I accomplished this, or I did that. And you know it, man, I can do anything. And I think when you get through that, it's always can serve as your anchor to say, man, you remember the last time you thought you couldn't get through this? You got through that, didn't you? Or you thought you couldn't accomplish this? You accomplished that. You accomplished this. And I think you just, you go on to greater heights, and you start to believe in yourself a little bit more. But I think you have to have the power and the belief and the love and just to know that you're worthy and know that you can do anything. And there's nothing or no one that's stronger than you and nothing that's more powerful than you, right? So that's why I'm here, and I'm going to march forward. And if there's other people that would love to join me and love to, you know, just find strength in their own story and use their voice and not be scared of it. Don't be, embrace it and tell somebody, hey, man, this happened to me, or hey, listen to this. We worry too much about what other people are thinking. We worry too much about fitting in. We worry too much about, I want to be cool. Oh, they're going to think I'm weak. You know what? And I was going to say something very vulgar, but I'm going to say it like this. The better way I can say it, I don't care what anybody has to say, because I am me. And I want to be remembered I want to, I saw this quote, right, and this is powerful. I love this. I want to live my life the way I want to lead my life. And that was a quote from Les Brown. And he said, I want to live my life. You should live your life the way you want to lead your life. So it's what you want to ultimately will be remembered for. And at the end of the day, I don't want to be remembered as the victim of the person that, oh, my God, poor guy, poor. No. This guy marched towards something greatness, towards something great, towards whatever he feels his purpose is with God behind him, pushing him when he falls and when he's crawling and he wants to give up. God is here with him.
Mm-hmm. You know, in speaking that of that, Jay, I wanted to read something real quick. Is that speaking, you know, of the remembrance of someone, is that, you know, you made me think of a quote that, you know, whenever, like you said, you know, I really don't give a flying, you know what, about what people think of me. I don't care about that anymore. You know, I used to. But that's the person that we've all, you know, grown out of, you know, so to speak.
Exactly.
And are walking in a road now where you're not going to be able to stop us now. You know, we grew up, and now we're going to face any challenge and take it on, and we're going to dominate and keep moving forward now. You know, this is just the way it's going to be. We came too far, and we're going to continue to grow as a family, one way or another, you know. So I want to read this. It says, remember me in quiet days. Remember me in quiet days while raindrops whisper on your pain. Remember in your memories, have no grief. Let the joy we knew remain. Remember me if once you wake to catch a glimpse a red sunrise. Remember when your thoughts do turn to me. Know what I would not have you cry, but live for me and laugh for me. When you're happy, so am I. Remember an old joke we shared. Remember me when spring walks by. Think once of me when you're glad, and while you live, I shall not die.
Wow.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
I mean, you know, I had to throw that into this because it was just perfect for the situation, and it just reminds me of something that I think we're going to be friends for a very long time. Yeah.
Absolutely. Family, man, brothers.
Yep. Yeah. I know we have a limited time here.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Kim.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, that was it. I was wondering, so what does your family dynamics look like today? How does that look? Have you started your own family? And now you're carrying all of this information that you have forward, or are you what's happening personally? If you don't mind asking that, because I think that plays a part into how we were in the past. We'll carry that either into
I
that,
would just say
we'll,
that I personally can lightly touch on it, not too much, but I can just say that, you know, I recently are going through a divorce, and I got two daughters, and that's, you know, pretty rough in that area. So that's why, it's, you know, a little personal, but, you know, so I'm not with them. And so I recently was going through something pretty tough with that and dealing with that. So, but like I said, no matter what it is that's going on in my life, it's not going to shake me and change me on my outlook on love, my outlook on, you know, trying
there you
to,
go, man.
You know, just showing love, right? I mean, because a lot of times, like I said, things that happen in your life, right, we can allow that situation to shape us and, you know, make us lose hope to where we don't let the love in. So I'm allowing mm-hmm. love in, and I'm marching forward with it regardless of what happens.
Well, I want to say that I hope that they know who the man you're becoming and who you are and where you're going. They would be so proud of you, man. You know, I just want to tell you that, brother.
Thank you, brother. That means a lot. Definitely means a lot. So that's, and ultimately, at the end of the day, like I mentioned, it's not just for me. You know, regardless of whatever, you know, a different story that is told about me, I know that my daughters ultimately, when I'm gone, they can look back and see, like, wow, this is what Daddy was doing. This is what he stood for.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've got just about 4 minutes left. Would you like to maybe know how we can get in touch with you and how we can stay connected as an ASCA family?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, I've been screaming the name. You won't forget it. Tangible Motivation. Like I said, it's on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. I mean, I'm pretty much everywhere. And so I'm pretty much connected to John and Darlene. So if you ever, yourself or anybody listening, if you know John or Darlene, or if you just want to look on a Tangible Motivation for yourself and reach out to me, you definitely can, or reach out to John and we can all connect that way. But, yeah, it's definitely been a pleasure, you know, being on the show and, you know, just explaining myself, telling my story. Thank you guys for that. And it's been amazing. I just want to say that I'm definitely very, very appreciative for this. And I thank you guys for everything that you have, everything that you're doing in the world, everything that you're doing in the community. So I don't think anybody tells you guys enough, but I want to say that I'm proud of you guys, everybody on this call, everybody that's the host, whatever you're doing, being a part of the NASCAR group, I'm proud of you guys. You guys are worthy. You guys are powerful, resilient, and it's a reflection of everything that you stand for. So I just want to say that I'm proud to be connected to such, you know, amazing people that are actually going forward and finding that power and making change in this world. So I want to say that I'm grateful and blessed to be connected and to have this opportunity.
Thank you, Jay. Nice to have you on and get to know you a little better. And I look forward to getting to know you a little better as well on some of the social media sites. I'll look you up. My name is Kim Lakin. So if you see me wandering around on your site, that's who I am. And thank you so much, John, for being on tonight. And Darlene, thanks for
being on. Yeah, thank you all so much. Thank you so much. Just a great night. I can't tell you how happy I am for Jay. And to see where he's gone is incredible. You know, I've only known him for a short time, but I feel like I've known him for years. And I can't wait to see the Ray and Jay show. You know, there's so much ahead that the people that I run into is just amazing. And I can't wait to have a lot of these people know each other. It's just a goal of mine because I feel like, you know, we're all a team here. And at some point down the road, we're going to need each other at some point, you know, for something. So it's crucial to me that the platforms and the contacts are there for the right people, the right personnel. You know, it's almost like when Jay's going to tell, you know, his story, but he's going to also tell his motivation, right? You know, you want the right people there for that. You know, and this is what it's all about, man, is to have that opportunity to know that you're there.
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
Jay, for being on, and you know, we cover so many different things. That's good. Uh-huh.
Be sure to look him up at YouTube and Tangible Motivation also. We've got a lot of videos.
Yeah, several. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, they're like over 200, okay, over 230, over 230 videos.
Okay. Good. That's awesome, man.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, thanks so much for being on, everybody, this evening, and thanks, Jay, for being on and sharing your story.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you guys again.
Have a good night.
Love you, Jay.
Thanks.
Another tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come.